Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Nerds Podcast. We are the best movie podcast on the internet, and you can see us in person this coming July at Denver Fan Expo. Look for the Pizza Hut-inspired booth. I am joined, as always, by my buddy, Brad. Brad, how are you today?
I'm struggling to keep up with everything we have to do for that con, for my screening. I got rear-ended yesterday, so now I got to add that into the schedule. So
that sucks.
Yeah.
Where'd you get rear-ended at? In your bedroom?
Ha-ha. Saw that coming. In the Taco Bell drive-thru. When the DoorDash guys parked his car, but like didn't park it. He just like stopped it, so it rolled into me.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Did it damage your car bad?
Not bad, but there's a dent in it for sure. The tire might be bent, but like I said, that's like, now I gotta go get that assessed, and that's like time I gotta take out of my day to do.
Who's your insurance company?
Allstate.
No, do they have their own place you have to take it to, or are they gonna send someone out?
There's a place I gotta take it to.
Yeah, places like, insurance companies like that usually have, you know, some sort of huge garage you take it to.
Yeah.
So that sucks, man.
Is the back right tire. So, like, my only real concern is that, like, maybe the back axle's bent.
Of
the tire. I mean, I've been driving around. It seems fine. But, you know, it's just, like, one of those things, like, I was joking. Now that I finally paid off my car, like, what's going to happen the next year that's going to make me have to buy a new one and get back onto a payment? And it's like, yeah, it's... I'm sure this is probably an axle bent thing where they're going to zero it out and then I just got to get back into a monthly payment. Great.
And it hit you while you're in your car, so you hurt your foot really bad, so you get money, right?
Yeah, my neck is feeling really sore 2 days later.
Hey, so speaking of cars being wrecked, our movie of the week is Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. Stay tuned if we recommend the film or not. We'll play the trailer and then spoil the movie. We'll also talk about the big movie news of the week and things we've watched throughout the week.
Wait, I misspoke earlier. I wasn't just sitting in the Taco Bell drive-through lane. I was on the Fury Road doing a road tour. That's what happened. That's way cooler than that.
Yeah, that's what happens when you don't pay the toll to.
I didn't give a Morton Joe bullets and oil, so he hunted me down and backed into my car. It's messed up.
Yeah, it's fucked up, but that's the price you pay. Brad, do you recommend Furiosa?
Yeah, I do. I think it's still a good movie. It doesn't live up to like my love for the Fury Road. And that's mostly just because obviously they had a budget cut because the last one, I think, either broke even or made a little less than breaking even. And the effects are pretty reduced to the point where I was like, oh, that's such a bummer. But there's still a lot of amazing stuff in it. And the story is a little weak because it's really just like, hey, do you want a story that fills in the blanks of the character you saw in the last movie? There it is. So yeah, there's not a lot of new stuff. that they throw at you. Like the last one was, you know, a complete advancement of the Mad Max franchise. So yeah, but it's still like I've seen it 3 times already, once in 4DX. So worth it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I'm actually in the same boat as you. I really liked it. I thought there's lots of cool moments. But man, some of the green screen was rough.
Yeah, that's one of the basic effects is just compositing, and like they couldn't get it done. It's shocking.
Yeah, because I mean, how long has this movie been delayed? Like, I don't know, a year. Yeah. So yeah, that I think that was my only disappointment in it. I mean, I think when they went back to the actual stunt work of the cars and stuff like that, it's an incredible movie. Here's the trailer for Furiosa.
Furiosa, we've come too far. Furiosa! They took Furiosa!
As a child, my world was forever changed. My mother was magnificent. And he took it all from me.
Who do we have here?
She's from a place of abundance. This is our destiny.
My childhood. My mother. I want them back.
I want them back!
Whatever you have to do, however long it takes, promise you'll find your way home. Protect the green place.
It's time to take quadruple out! Ray! Shetty! Guys!
If you find him, he's mine.
There will always be war, but to get home, Furiosa fought the world.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning, you actually kind of touched on it, Brad. It's really just filling in the blanks of the story Furiosa told in Fury Road, where as a child, she was kidnapped, and her whole mission is to finding her way back home. And we chart her life. I don't know, maybe she's like 10 or something at the beginning. And we see how she becomes who she is. And, you know, you meet Chris Hemsworth, Demetrius. What the fuck is his name? I literally just saw it.
Dementis.
Dementis, thank you. And, he, you know, he's a really fun character because he seems like he's kind of goofy. But then as you peel back the layers, you realize that he's pretty smart and pretty ruthless. And
yeah,
really just he biding his time to advance his goal.
I like his take on like he's a bad guy, but like he's just for the most part nice to everyone. Like he presents himself as like really charming and nice, even though he like does horrible things.
Yeah.
Whereas like a Morton Joe is just like a bastard, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Total piece of shit. And yeah, because there's even that. yeah. You know, she falls like in love, I guess, with a guy who kind of looks like Mad Max. And
yeah.
You know, the but his death is pretty brutal. I mean, he gets, I don't know, for hours, he gets dragged behind a motorcycle while dogs are eating him. And that part, I thought, you know, Chris Hemsworth was really good at that part where you kind of saw where he was at his breaking point.
Yeah, he turns into the dark Dementus.
Yeah. And yeah, because he has basically three characters throughout it. You know, he's at the beginning, he kind of has a Jesus vibe about him because he's, you know, dressed in the white cloak. He seems really nice.
Yeah, he has this messiah complex, but like behind it all, he's like, his goal is to take over all quadrants of the wasteland.
Yeah. And like, you know, what I really liked is I thought this world was really well realized. It gave a lot more to the wasteland, you know, where there's Bullet Town or Gas Town.
Yeah, like those things were just talked about in the last one, but you actually get to see them.
Yeah. And you get to see part of his plan was to fake that he lost control of Gas Town to drop the guard of everybody and, you know, take over Bullet Town, which I thought was really cool. And yeah, so the movie's really cool. Yeah, but you're right. It didn't have the stunt work. I thought, I mean, it was great when it was in camera, but it didn't really have the oh shit moments of Fury Road.
Yeah, like there's some parts where like that first, you know, it takes a while to get going to like the big stunt stuff. But yeah, there's like that first war rig chase where they have like the fan packs with the, mm-hmm. the parachutes and stuff. Like, oh, okay, this is, you know, this is different and interesting. Like it, kind of like an aerial attack, correct. Bunch of people. But yeah, there's just like really shoddy like compositing, CGI bodies falling off of the war rig that are like not that, like the movement's not quite right. It's almost like 2002 Marvel movies type stuff.
Yeah, and it's disappointing because, you know, Fury Road didn't rely on that at all, and it was kind of a badge of honor when they were marketing it. And you know, the one that really irked me, and it wasn't necessary, is when they go to the Citadel the first time, and Chris Hemsworth is talking, and the camera is to his right, and the background you can tell is just all CGI, and it's
CGI matte painting. Yeah,
yeah, and you can see the light bouncing off of his features, you know, on like it's too bright around the outline of his face, if that makes any sense to people listening.
Yeah, even earlier than that is when Furious' mother is hunting her down, and they go through that rock that's like in the middle, as a crack in the middle, and like the lighting just doesn't match the rest of the scene. You're just like, it's clearly they're standing in front of like either a big LED screen or just a bad composite. So I mean, yeah, later on when Dementus is in his chariot, it looks like all of his other lackeys are actually in camera, but like he's, because he's Chris Hemsworth and there's probably an insurance issue, they composited him in.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if it was a stylistic choice in it, but yeah, it was a bummer because, I mean, the movie's still cool, and I think everybody should see it. It's one of my favorite movies so far this year. But that's the only thing that kept it from being a 5-star movie to me.
Yeah, totally.
Those moments took me out of the film, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, you mentioned how they moved. Yeah, there was a couple times when it was either a war boy or one of the marauders, they would pump their fist in the air, and it just looked so unnatural, and you could just pick out the CGI guys, and I don't like that.
Yeah, they had those far away shots, like there's this right before they like draw and quarter that one dude, like all the cars and bike riders like roll up to that cliff edge, and like some guys fall out of the like off the bikes, and then later on at the very end, like one of Dementus's, like the guy with the missing eye, like when the motorbike guys catch him, like he falls off, and all that stuff just doesn't look right.
Yeah,
is that really hard to shoot in camera?
I know, especially because they had that one shot at the beginning, which was awesome, where Furiosa's mom shoots that dude on the dirt bike, and he kind of jumps off and slides down the dune, which was freaking badass.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if, because I know Fury Road 2 kind of got a, reputation of how hard it was on stunt people and the actors. I wonder if he had to tone it down because Warner Brothers made him.
Oh, probably. They're like, look, we can't, like the last time we gave you $200 million or something to do this, and it like went on forever. And, you know, if we want to make a profit, we got to give you like a third of that. So I feel like he really just got budget cutted the hell out of it and did the best he could with what he had.
I mean, the movie still has lots of energy. When it is in camera, I think it looks really cool. That war rig that took place on Fury Road, the battle there, I thought was awesome.
Yeah, and that thing's like twice the size of the Fury Road rig.
Yeah, because they even did some cool camera movements where, you know, whether it's a war boy or one of the marauders, when they were coming in, the camera would follow them in and then pull back really fast so you could see what was happening on screen. And I thought that was cool.
Yeah. And when that octopus kite like flies in and gets caught on stuff, like, yeah, cool stuff like that.
He's definitely still has the vision to pull off really cool ideas.
Yeah, I just wish it was more in camera.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just like 10 years later, it should be getting better and not worse. So, yeah.
Agreed.
Because, hey, like, even Fury Road, like watching it, I felt like, oh, they did all this for real. But then you watch the behind-the-scenes special features, and you're like, oh, gosh, there is actually a lot of CGI in this movie that's, like, just done so well you don't notice. And that just didn't happen here, which is just a bummer.
Yep. Agreed.
Because, it just totally takes you out of the movie. You're just like, oh, there's no danger in that shot. So everyone's safe.
Yeah, I want to see movies like Stunt Rock where the dude's like falling out of the air and and almost dies each time. There's a great documentary on that Blu-ray about how dangerous that movie was.
I wonder if, they're just like, it's a rated R action movie that has sort of has like a big following, but it's no Barbie, you know? So I'm like, wonder if they're like, Warner Brothers has the mentality of like, look, most people are going to watch this on TV. We don't have to put any extra effort into these effects.
Yeah, it definitely had, it's interesting because I was, this is a week later. Let's pull back the curtain. And they were talking about, you know, how Mad Max was never a big franchise and that this movie, I don't know, only did $40 million to open. It's hard to say that it's an actual failure because, you know, they kind of play for a long time and they gain this status over time opposed to all at once, because you mentioned it before, even, Fury Road, while it was really cool and it did pretty well, it didn't do, you know, gangbusters. So.
Yeah. I think it's only real mistake is that they put it as the Memorial Day weekend feature, like, which is historically, everyone expects that to do like $100 million, whatever the movie is. And I think that was just like not a good play. Like, this should have been like a late July offering or something.
Agreed.
Or early April.
Yeah, but, you know, the labor strikes kind of fucked everything up too. So they, I read an interview on Forbes with Box Office Analysis, and they said one of the problems is, and they think what's hurting it, is there's no consistency in the movies being released right now. And I mean, it's a perfect example is our film of the next week is a small budget horror film because there's nothing opening new big this week. So, yeah. Well, I think
I think they thought Furiosa was going to be like a 2 week, like double hitter for number one, but like looking ahead for the rest of our schedule, I was trying to plan our episodes and like for summer blockbusters, there's not a lot of blockbustery stuff.
No,
there's like a bunch of high budget family films like Inside Out 2, but there's no like, I guess Twisters. Like,
sure.
Like how? I'm sure they think it's a big deal, but what's like a 20, 25 year old blockbuster that no one's played with for that long? You know,
you know, you know, interesting you say that. In the same article, they say that Twisters is tracking well ahead of what they thought it was going to do. So they're thinking that Twisters might be a really big surprise hit. Now, I mean, I don't know if it'll translate, and I don't know how they, I mean, they must do it by internet clicks or something for the traffic, but.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, I can see it doing like surprisingly well, but I just look at it, I'm like, the difference between then and now is like, I know that everything dangerous on screen is completely computer generated.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's no peril or urgency when I feel like I watch the trailer. It's just like, there's nothing, everything is safe. Like they're trying to make you convince me this is super dangerous. And I know it's not. Whereas the original was like, at least they had like rigs and actual rain, like all that kind of stuff on set, you know?
Yeah. Even the Hollywood Reporter, they did an article. It says, it's time for moviegoers to decide what they want from movies. Because one of the big shocks of this summer so far is The Fall Guy isn't going to make $100 million, and everybody liked it. It was well reviewed. It had Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, people that everybody loves, and it did okay. So they don't know. I think Hollywood is struggling right now.
Yeah, like I've been saying for a while, you know, you shouldn't blame your audience. Like, you should just do better work. But I really feel like lately it's like the audience complains and then they do the thing that they ask them to do. And then they don't, like, we want less sequels and reboots. And then they go and just pay for those sequels and reboots instead of actually going out and doing the work and finding original content on their own.
I agree.
It's like, we did the work. We went and saw the movie next. We're going to see a movie next week. Like an indie low budget thing, and that's supposed to be new and different, and like they expect Hollywood to share those unique things. Like, they're not going to put marketing into stuff that they're like, I don't know what people are going to think of this, you know? So obviously they're going to get eyes on it.
Yeah, I think they're lost too. And, you know, it doesn't help. The strikes didn't help them. Marvel not doing well its last couple movies hasn't helped. So it's interesting, and hopefully they're saying by the winter, there's lots of great movies coming out for the winter that they're hoping that it'll catch up the box office. But you know, if it doesn't, I guess Hollywood has to recalibrate again.
Yeah. It's just weird for what feels like just such like a subdued summer, you know?
Yep.
Cause I think, the only thing else I'm looking forward to is Deadpool and Wolverine. I think that's like the last of the Twisters. The only thing I think that can cross 100 million.
Yeah, and it's the end of July, so still got 2 months to go. This is the big news story of the week.
It's real news!
So, Brad, did you see that Friends is coming out on 4K Ultra HD?
I did.
Could that
be any weirder?
It's really interesting to me because how many TV shows are on 4K? Like Game of Thrones, Jack Ryan, these big budget, you know, action ones. I was reading the press release, and they're gonna have new documentaries on it, and they're gonna have 20 hours of legacy content. I go, man, this is a good time to be a movie collector or a show collector.
I just don't know how, like, they make that show 4K. Like, did they film it?
I don't know
it?
Either. It is on film. I do know that. I'm interested. Of course, I pre-ordered it. My wife says, how much was it? I says, well, it says it's $250. I'm sure it'll drop by the time it's released. And then she just rolls her eyes and reaches for possible divorce papers. But, you know. But I'm excited because I mean, $250 is a lot, but Friends went on for 10 seasons and it's, you know, the only season that was shorter was the last one. And each season is usually 24 episodes. So you get, I think there's 256 episodes of Friends. I don't think that that's like that ridiculous of a price. So, I was on the forum for Blu-ray.com. And this one guy who was pissed answered his own question, and it made me laugh on the inside. it said, of course Warner Brothers would release this shitty show. All it does is make the money. Like, there you go, man. You literally just answered your own question on why this is coming to 4K.
But still, like, technical wise, I'm just like, it looks great on Blu-ray. I don't know what 4K is going to add to this show.
I don't know. I'm fixing to find out. The only thing I don't like is I have the really fancy complete series on Blu-ray where it comes in the really nice bound book. And this packaging looks like it's pretty flimsy.
Yeah, it's probably just like a paper cover with a plastic chunky plastic case inside, like the thick case. Yeah.
And I'm worried that they're going to cram like one season on each 4K disc because it's, you know, 100 gigs and you can double layer it, so it'll be 200. So I'm my biggest fear is each season's only on one fucking disc. And but whatever, I guess it's not up to me.
Yeah, that's what an odd, like, yeah, 4K makes sense to me for movies or shows that are shot, you know, in the past 10 years, you know. But yeah, like at that point, yeah, why don't you just upgrade the Dick Van Dyke Show or something to 4K. Also shot on film, so.
Yeah, I would take it. You know, I was thinking something like 24 that's never been on Blu-ray.
Oh my God.
Should be on 4K.
Yeah, that's long overdue. And that's why, it's modern enough that, and has like cool effects that would warrant, the 4K-ness of it.
That, and I think it's still really popular, so. So if you're listening, Disney, who owns, 20th Century Fox now, come on.
This is like the 24th anniversary of 24, isn't it?
It is.
And they're not doing anything with that. Such a waste.
I know. Why aren't we in charge, Brad? That's what I want to know.
Because our ideas are so good. Like, we would suck up all the money in Hollywood and, they're afraid of us. They hate us because they ain't us, Ryan.
I knew it. I freaking knew it.
Huh. Yeah, it's so weird Disney Plus now, all the Fox stuff that's on there. It's just like, is this Disney Plus?
I know.
Yeah. There's like The Last Omen, like right next to like Peter Pan. It's so funny.
It is. It's because, mine's integrated my Hulu into it. So my Disney Plus, when it pops open, it'll have, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs or the classic cartoons I like to watch. And then the next, scroll over is The First Omen.
Yeah. It's love like it. David Cross's latest comedy special is on here, too. This is so weird.
I love it. Anywho. Hey, we watch movies throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
This week, what did I watch? try to remember. Did I talk about Flubber last week? Or you weren't on last week, were you?
I was not. I called in my review.
Yeah. I can't remember if I talked about it with Zach or not. Fine. All I'll say is, like, I don't get that movie because the dude has a flying AI, artificial intelligence droid, and he's trying, like, that's not his breakthrough invention. Like a hover converted, sentient robot. That's, no one cares about that. They only care about his, alternative fuel source. Yeah,
when did that come out? I remember absolutely nothing from that movie. Is it like 2000?
97.
Wow. Fuck.
Yeah. I mean, it's a remake of The Absent-Minded Professor, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I only remember the Robin Williams one, but now that you say it, I don't remember anything from it because I haven't seen it since 1997.
Yeah. I never saw it until now. And he has this like assistant robot called Weibo, I think. Basically, it looks like a Roomba that flies. It has like a screen on it, and it's weirdly in love with him to the point where Weibo keeps interfering with, he's supposed to get married, and Weibo keeps trying to like break that up because she's in love with him.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. Anyway.
But you know, but yeah. I'll take your word for it that that happened.
But yeah, my biggest takeaway was like the super like Star Trek science-y thing, Star Wars droid. And he's like, I gotta invent something else. Like they're trying to save the college by creating some great invention. And no one's like, maybe we should market and sell the droid that you made that flies. He's like making flubber so his car can fly, but like he made this robot fly without flubber. So I don't know why we're making flubber.
Sure. I'll take your word for it. I seriously don't remember anything from it. I found this as you've been watching these movies from the mid to late 90s. Is I know I've seen them and I remember flashes of the film, but I don't remember anything about them.
Yeah, I think that's just us getting old. Like those brain cells are the ones that got killed when we stayed up too late and did too many consistent weeks of podcasting.
Yes.
Well, you and I watch so many movies, they just overwrite old movies at this point. There's no room for
The movie doesn't leave an impact on me, I'm like, get the fuck out of my brain.
Yeah, squeezing it out of your ear. So I watched the new Hitman movie, not the video game one, but the Glenn Powell one that just came out.
Yeah.
He's a like a high school teacher who moonlights as a master of disguise for like the local police.
Like Dana Carvey?
A little bit. He weirdly just likes putting on costumes and pretending to be hitmen so that the police can entrap people, I guess, is entrapment. Police get tips that spouses or like people are just putting out hits on people, and so yeah, he pretends to be a hitman, and he meets this one woman who wants to kill her husband because he's abusive, and he falls in love with her and kind of convinces her not to do that, but there's a twist. I don't know, it was kind of once he settles into like the one persona of the hitman and he like gets more confidence by the end, I don't know, it just wasn't that interesting. But the like lead up...
it's Richard Linklater, right?
Yeah, right.
Huh. Doesn't sound like the kind of movie he'd make.
I mean, it's very dramatic, like this, you'd think it'd be more actiony and like more gunplay, but it's really a lot of just people talking. But like his performances are like the different personas that he creates to do is kind of fun. Kind of tuned out by the end of like, let's just wrap this up. I don't care anymore. Yeah, for like a hitman movie, it's just like, yeah. And eventually like her husband finds out that this happens, so he turns the tables, and again, like I watched it like 2 weeks ago and it wasn't good enough for me to remember, as we were talking about.
Remember movies from 27 years ago and 2 weeks ago.
Yep. I see so many in a single week. Similarly, I watched the Amy Winehouse movie Back to Black because I was like, this is the last movie in theaters I haven't seen. So let's give this a shot. And probably one of the weirdest biopics I've ever watched.
Really?
Yeah, there's like just a vibe about it that's odd. Like, I think the performances are good. I'm not like this huge Amy Winehouse fan or know much about her career other than that she died, you know. Like as I was watching the movie, I was listening for like, have I heard this song before? Is this like a famous song type stuff? Like that's how much little I didn't know. It's like the whole movie just revolves around her like relationship with, I forget his name, but like just this one dude, maybe it was Blake, I think.
Blake.
And she's like obsessed with the guy, and yeah,
fucking Balake.
the movie portrays her descent into, you know, her death was all revolving around doing everything for this guy and ruining her life over it. Like this codependent relationship that they have. She starts out all, I don't do drugs because that's for, you know, losers, and by the end, yeah, she's like doing everything to stay with this guy. And at one point, like the finale is she's at the Grammys. I'm like, oh, she's going to win a Grammy. And then like offhandedly in the next scene, they talk about like, it's really great. You won your fifth Grammy. I was like, that was her fifth one.
So she didn't get assassinated like Weird Al at the Grammys.
Yeah.
All right.
Took herself out later. Yeah. So I don't know. It just wasn't like an interesting movie to watch. I was like, oh God, I get it. She loves this guy. Let's move on. And it's like 2.5 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like we could definitely cut a bunch of stuff out of this. Yeah, that's what I watched this week.
Yeah, you know, I've been working so much, I haven't watched shit. I watched School of Rock with my kid, which I haven't seen that movie in a long time. It's part of my ongoing series of Blu-rays I own that I haven't watched yet. And that movie's still really fun. It's just, if you haven't seen it, Jack Black plays a guy named Dewey who's down on his luck because he's also like a wannabe musician. He pretends that he's his friend and substitutes at this really uppity private school, and he creates a band with all the gifted children in his class, and shenanigans ensue. But it's a fun movie, and I can't believe it's 20 years old, you know, and we are talking about Flubber being 97, and that's when I know I'm really old, is movies I've seen in theater and I've enjoyed are now on their 20th anniversary, you know. Makes me feel really old, and it doesn't feel like it's that old of a film.
Right? Yeah. It's messed up.
Yeah, and I also saw Spider-Man Far From Home in theaters, and I will say that the extended version is new scenes in the film, which I wasn't expecting because you reminded me that they did re-release it with like a Stan Lee tribute in it. And I thought that's maybe what it was going to be, but no, there's extended scenes and, the fights with the elementals are actually longer, which is really cool. And it's fun to see again. Yeah. The, you know, the Hydro Man and Molten Man guy.
Oh God. Yeah. God, I haven't seen Far From Home in forever, I guess.
So yeah, the one I noticed the most was when he was in Venice and fighting Hydro Man, that battle scene went on for like another 3 or 4 minutes where he's working with Mysterio and teaming up, and they do a couple things to knock down the water elemental. So it's really cool seeing it, and yeah, it's fun seeing it with the crowd because there's a lot of people there.
Yeah, that's the one that has like, there was like a scene in a restaurant that they cut out, and then yeah, it was like replacing this extended, right?
Yeah. So like he's fighting the mob boss people. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that scene they repurposed on the 4K. It's called, Peter's like, to-do list or something. So they took that out and they just made, it's like a 7-8 minute short film, but they re-put that back into this movie too.
Yeah. So it was in the trailer, and then, yeah, we saw the movie and it wasn't there. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's fun. So it was really cool seeing it again. And I still think Mysterio is a really cool villain. And his reveal is, even though I knew he was going to be a bad guy, it's still a kind of a cool reveal. Yeah, just freaking love Spider-Man and being back. And yeah, that is all I watched this week. I ended up working like 60 something hours this week. So I would go home and I was like, okay, I'm going to watch Modern Family and fall asleep.
Yeah. Like I watched, you know, a bunch of Family Guy that I hadn't seen yet. So, but that's like, yeah, not.
You're just like me then. It's like, fuck this. I don't want to do anything. It's time just to do zone out.
Yeah. Like there's just too much to do. Like I need something that like I want to kind of see that's new, but also like I got to not give it my full attention. So yeah, stuff like that's great for that.
Agreed. Next week, Brad, we're seeing, you mentioned it, an indie, really small budget horror film called In a Violent Nature, which is one of the movies I've wanted to see most since I saw the trailer. So yeah, that'll be fun. And remember, we'll be at Fan Expo Denver, July 1st through the 5th. or 2nd through the 5th, whatever 4 days in the beginning of July is, we'll be there.
It's the 4th through the 7th.
Is it 4th through the 7th?
4, okay, 5, 6, see? 7, yeah.
See? Brad knows.
Yeah. Up until, like, yesterday, I was telling people it was the 1st or the 4th, and I actually looked at the calendar, I was like, oh, no, like, the weekend's after the 4th. Crap.
Well, we knew it was in July. That's what counts.
It's only like 3 weeks away, you know?
Yeah.
Time to get it right.
So, until next week, we'll see you at the movies.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot a real nerd. Can follow the plot and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast, Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!